In my relationship, especially with my spouse, I have a control issue where I always feel like I have to be in control, because when I'm not in control, I feel like things are going to go bad, and it creates a lot of problems in my marriage.
All right. Listen, is that an issue in your marriage and your relationships? Here's the one thing question today at Intentional Living. What one thing can you do, are you doing, to be less controlling, or one thing you're doing if you're living with a controller to help make that life and that relationship a little better? One thing to be less controlling, or one thing living with a controller? Phone line is open at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Love to have you come on in and join us for the program today. I'm going to let you hear the rest of the call from Jennifer in a moment, but first, just to pause for a moment to reflect on this very important day in American history, 9/11. 18 years ago, we were attacked as a people. And it's easy to forget as new generations come up, and I hope that won't happen. We'll never forget what happened on that day, the impact on this nation. Just candidly, what makes me sad is see the division in our nation today, how divided we are as a people. At least what we think we're divided when we hear about it on the media, some media. But may we never forget the sacrifice of those not only who lost their life on 9/11, but since. Thank God for each of you, men and women who've served so faithfully in the service of this nation and protecting this nation. We appreciate it. Thank you for the families. 9/11. Well, today we're going to turn our attention to a topic on control. It's a big issue in marriage and relationships. If we have a need to control, that can be, well, that can affect our faith, because ultimately it takes away some of what God is supposed to be doing. You know, the fact is that he's in charge, we're not. And it can manifest itself in a lot of different ways. It causes us to isolate ourselves to be safe, or we can become controlling toward others and appear in the process to be pushy. Yeah. I want you to hear the rest of Jennifer's call, the entire call, and then the phone line is open. One thing, join us today. Here's the intentional living question. One thing to be less controlling, or one thing if you're living with a controller. That's very intentional. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717.
In my relationship, especially with my spouse, I would like to change me appreciating him more instead of looking at everything that he does and that I wish he would change. I'm very critical, and I have a control issue where I always feel like I have to be in control, because when I'm not in control, I feel like things are going to go bad, and it creates a lot of problems in my marriage. When I was younger, there was a lot of things that happened in my life that I had no control over at the time, and I think I developed this attitude that if I'm not in control, bad things happen. So it's just a pattern of me just keep doing it and keep doing it, and eventually it's going to get easier for me.
You know, controllers, there's a lot of them, a lot of us, put myself in there sometimes. I think all of us at times wrestle with this idea of being in control, and sometimes it could be situational, certain things we have to take control of. You know, maybe in some area of your life, it's a high demand to be in control, in other areas, not so much. And finding that, striking that healthy balance, you know, the Bible tells us, a great wisdom from Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, which, by the way, those were my father-in-law's life verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So it becomes an issue of trust, to really trust. Do we trust God in areas that we try to control? Control increases our stress, distress. It can increase our blood pressure. It can decrease intimacy in relationships. So today, the question is, what one thing to be less controlling? One thing you've learned as you've grown to be more mature to help you be less controlling, or maybe you live with a controller. What is it that helps? Give me a call, 888-888-1717. Let's see. Let's go to Florida. I think we have a question from a caller there. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I had to laugh when I heard the topic of the radio station today, because my husband had actually used that term to define me. before you left for work, and I was like, oh, so I thought I would call in and ask. I've been reading your book on intimacy and my search for that, and my biggest issue is right now is that I've just been simply asking my husband, hey, while we're out in public, you know, we've been married for like 10 years, you know, while we're out in public, would you mind holding my hand? You know, I need that. That means security for me. Would you do that? And maybe I've been mentioning it more than enough. I don't know. But today he used the term pushy. You know, you're being pushy. You shouldn't mention it so much. I'll do it when I get around to, you know, kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, maybe I messed myself up by doing that. So,
Are you the type of person that does that in other situations, Mary, reminding your husband or others, trying to drive home a point?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I just want to make sure I'm being heard. And he's not one to, you know, he doesn't use the term, let me hear if, you know, you're saying this. He doesn't say that. It's kind of a silence. So I never know if it actually does get through unless he does it.
Listen, Mary, that's a great question. And I don't think what I heard you say sounds so pushy to me. It's just something that you're requesting, something that is important to you. I think there's a difference between expressing our needs, wants, and desires and being pushy. I think we kind of know in the back of our head when we're being pushy. That's when we're being demanding, when we're trying to be controlling, we're trying to make sure everything goes our way. But expressing our needs, wants, and desires is not one of those aspects of controlling in my book. So I think being able to talk to your husband, I think where it becomes controlling and pushy is when it's over and over and over, and it's continuing to be reminding. You share it, you thank God for your husband, and then willing to go on, not hang on to a grudge. Phone line is open today. Do you have a controlling person in your life? Maybe you're the controlling person. You wrestle with it. Maybe either because you have to be isolating, holding everything together, or maybe pushy toward others. One thing to be less controlling, what is it? Or if you're living with a controller, one thing that works. Phone line is open, 888-888-1717. I'm going to have my cough drop during the break, and I'll be back with a little more here, as long as my voice hangs on. 888-888-1717 is our number. Do you have a pushy person in your life? Maybe you? One thing. Share it with us.
Intentional love can transform a marriage.
We have been able to put aside our selfishness and really put each other first, and that has really made a difference.
Natasha and her husband have experienced firsthand the power of intentional living. Put the power of intentional love to work in your marriage. The Intentional Love Marriage Date Night is November 8th and 9th in Mesa and Glendale, November 16th in Tucson. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Do this one thing when your emotions get hijacked. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I encourage you, when you have emotions that get hijacked and they run away with your life, to identify the triggers that set them off. Maybe it's the kids when they behave in a certain way. Maybe it's certain words that trigger an emotional response that later you regret. Or maybe it's when you're tired. Watch for whatever the triggers are and then find an emotional safety to put on that trigger. I recently completed a book called Freedom from Hijacked Emotions. And in that book, I remind the readers that we are to be strong in the Lord and in His strength. We see that in Ephesians chapter 10. When you do these things intentionally and you make sure you keep that safety on that trigger, that's what you're doing to be intentional with your hijacked emotions.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
You know, thank you, Kurt, and I hope you will, because we put a lot of effort to put these together, a new one every day, Monday through Friday. We'd love to send it right to your email box. It's kind of cool we can do that today. So all you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com/minute. And subscribe to the Intentional Living Minute. We'll get it to you. Also, you heard the mention of the date night. Hey, listen, I haven't done a date night conference in many months, so I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be a lot of fun in Mesa and in Glendale in the Phoenix area, November 8 and 9, and then November 16 in Tucson. And I was mentioning that's a Sunday night. I was wrong. It's a Saturday night. Got to look at my calendar. I'll be there. I'll be a day late if someone didn't remind me. Saturday, November 16 in Tucson, and then 8 and 9 in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area. And this is going to be a lot of fun. Here's what I promise you. I know your time is valuable. And you guys go on dates, and you do things. You come home. I want you to come and laugh. I promise you'll do that. Learn some things. When you go home, you can have one thing that you say, hey, one thing we took away from tonight that we can really apply in our marriage to make it a little richer, more intimate, closer, resolving some issues. It's going to be really practical and a lot of fun. Bring some other couples with you. I'd love to have you do them. These are the only ones scheduled for this calendar year in Phoenix and Tucson. So go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com to get your tickets. All right, let's go to Arizona. Marianne's on the line with a question today on this issue of controlling and being pushy. Marianne, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. What's your question?
Well, my question is, my problem is I'm asking to go to counseling, a marriage counselor, so that we can learn to communicate.
Okay.
And he tells me I'm putting demands on him and that I'm pushy.
So is he basically saying you think it's my problem and you want to drag me in to get me fixed?
I think that's what he's saying, is that, you know, I'm trying to put it all on him. When it's both of us. We cannot communicate without a fight, period.
Yeah, so what's happened is you guys have taken defensive positions over some battleground in your marriage, and so you're defending your positions.
I think we both do, yes.
Yeah.
I think we both do.
See, what happens, Marianne, is when we take a position, then we have to defend it. And what's happened, I don't know what all the issues are in your marriage, and I hear your heart. You're just saying, hey, can we learn to communicate, lay down our weapons of communication that don't work, and learn how to be a healthy communicator?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so tell me, give me the words, as you recall, you said to him.
Okay, well, from what I recall is I told him that we cannot communicate with each other, and this has been a lifelong problem for our marriage, and that the other counselor we only saw for a few sessions, and then he quit going. I said, I would like to see a real marriage counselor that can help us learn how to communicate with one another.
All right.
And he basically told me that I was putting boundaries on our relationship, that I was being pushy, because he doesn't want to go, is how I see it.
Well, there's not very many men lining up at the door of the local counselor to go in and talk about their problems.
Right.
That's not a manly thing, generally speaking. And as a man, I understand that. As a counselor, I've seen it. Marianne, listen, did you share that at a moment when things weren't going well and you weren't communicating all that well?
Yes, and I also have after the fact, when things have worked more mellow, and I still got basically the same answer.
All right, and that may be the answer, and he may not go in and so on. If he doesn't, I still encourage you to find someone to talk to help you develop yourself, build your life, not focus on the things you don't have and the poor communication that that you experience in your marriage. I would probably approach your husband in a quiet moment, a better moment, not a tense moment, and say something like, honey, listen, you know, I've shared this before, and that you felt I was pushy or controlling, and I don't want to be that way. I really just desire that you and I could really communicate the way God intended for us to do so. And is it okay if I just share something with you and promise, say, I'm not going to bring it up again, but it would be really important to me, and I would appreciate it because I want to learn how to communicate better, because I know I'm not the kind of communicator that I need to be with you. I want to understand you better. I want to be a better communicator, so when I speak, I can speak to your heart and understand how you're feeling and what's going on. And I'm not very good at it. It would be helpful to me if you would do that. In other words, it's not we need to go in. That's true. We do. And yes, we need to learn to communicate. But if he's seeing that as an attack on himself, I would reposition that in terms of I need to have you come in to help me understand myself better and communicate better, and then see what he says.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's probably a way better way to approach it. So, yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate that information, and I'll pray on it and try to say the right words.
Yeah. Well, words matter. You know, what does it say in the book of James? Even one spark of a word can put a whole forest ablaze. Have you ever had that in a marriage? If you guys are married, you know that. You could just say one thing. Because we judge ourselves by our intentions. Your intentions were good. You didn't intend to say something that was stupid or mean or hurtful or explosive. You just said it. And the intention was good, and the expectation was what something else is being heard. My guess is, Marianne, for you and for many husbands, they don't want to go to counseling, and they don't want to admit they got a problem and share it with somebody they don't know. But to be able to position it of something that's going to help me to understand you better, see what that does. Today, control. You know, control can either become this idea I'm isolated, or it can become that you become pushy toward others. One thing that's working, or a question you have, or one thing if you live with a controller. 888-888-1717. Let's go to Laura. Laura, welcome to the program today.
Hi, thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question or your one thing?
My one thing is my whole life I was controlled by my mother and ended up being a controller and then preyed on it. And I think I'm doing much better now.
Well, good. How did your mom control you? How would I have seen it if I were looking in on it?
Well, she still does it. And unfortunately, my brother is stuck with her right now, enduring it, and I'm helping him out. But she basically tells you that everything you do is wrong and tells you that you need to do this, that, or the other thing right now. Drop everything you're doing. Tells you how your life is wrong and what you need to do to fix it, these types of things.
Mm. And how does that feel when she said that to you over the years?
Oh, it's awful. I was basically crushed. Until 3 years ago, I had a situation. I had to live with her for a year. And 3 years ago, I literally ran away to another state.
Wow. Do you think objectively, rising above the situation, do you think your mother, if I were to talk to her, you think she would say her intentions were good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think she wants to protect her children and is worried about us. And it's also what I was doing with my brothers. And when they started calling me mom, I got the hint and prayed on it. And I'm doing it much less with them. I'm much more of a support now.
That's good. So you've learned and you're backing off with your kids.
Well, with my brothers.
Well, with your brothers. I'm sorry. Okay. Because you were starting. Were you the oldest then?
I'm the youngest, but I'm the only girl.
Oh, so did you kind of took on the trait of being the mother of the boys? Kind of.
Yes.
Thing? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So you've learned to kind of back off and not following the same footsteps.
Exactly. Yeah. And I prayed on it, and the Book of James actually was the one that I turned to the most because it taught me, you know, about anything that your tongue speaks, basically, and any of your thoughts. So I didn't want to be that. Yeah. I wanted to be what Christ wants me to be.
Well, yeah, I don't know if your mom is listening, Laura, but I hope other moms and dads are listening and think about how being controlling with the best of intentions, that'd be a good book, you know, controlling with the best of intentions. Even though your intentions are good, you're pushing your kids away, you're pushing your spouse away, you're pushing friends away, and you're gonna live a mediocre life in relationship as a result of having to control. And listen, it's a big issue. It's hard to lay that down, and the scripture is pretty clear all throughout scripture. Ultimately, we got to lay it down, cast our worries and cares on Him. The scripture says, we try to keep picking up things and controlling things, doesn't work. Quick break. We'll be back. You got a controlling person in your life. Maybe you comes out either controlling or maybe being isolated. One thing that works, a question, or one thing in living with a controller. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Randy Carlson, inviting you to get away to get close to God's creation. Book your cabin now for the 2020 Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. Breathtaking destinations and beautiful scenery await you on this unforgettable travel experience. Enjoy spiritual renewal and build lifelong memories. Join my wife Donna and me for the 2020 Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. To book your cabin, go to theintentionallife.com. If you and I have our emotions on and we just express what we feel, we're always on that emotional edge. The problem is it damages ourselves and it damages our relationship with other people. Some of you can probably name people right now that you prefer not to be around because of their emotions. And they may be hot emotions of anger and frustration, or they could be very cool emotions. And it could be moodiness and other kinds of emotions that are just negative to be around.
That is an excerpt from this month's Managing Your Emotions Part 1 CD teaching going to members. It's on its way automatically to you. It is available, however, to everyone as you share a gift this month and request it. You know, on this singular basis, we'd be glad to send it to you. And those who join us monthly, is just a way of releasing every month a brand new teaching. So check it all out at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And about emotions, you heard me mention hijacked emotions. I have a brand new book that we're going to be introducing this month. It'll be released next month. And next week, we're going to be really talking about it. And I think of all the books I've written on childhood memories, on parenting and marriage, this is the most important book that I've written, because it really touches the core of where we are with our head, heart, and hands. And when emotions get hijacked, like anxiety and worry and fear, and anger, how are we to be intentional? And boy, we put a lot of work and labor and love into this hijacked emotions, freedom from hijacked emotions, overcoming anxiety, anger, and fear. And I'll be telling you more about it next week, and I'd love to get it into your hands. This idea of being controlling can certainly hijack us, can it? Can cause us to be pushy. It can cause us to be angry. It can cause us to be isolated, and then that can result in a lot of different emotions. And so today we're really focusing on your hijacked emotions when it comes to being controlling. Love to have you join in. Just before we take some more calls, I want to say thanks to those of you who are supporting the ministry. God bless you for doing it. And if you support Intentional Living financially, the call you're about to hear is a reminder of where that support is going to impact people.
Hello, my name is Michelle, and I went to the conference this weekend, and I wanted to tell you guys that it was life-changing and that I am wearing my bracelet every day as a constant reminder that I used to be a yeller and a screamer, and that's how I grew up, with my mom doing that to me, and I didn't know any different. And since I have been to the conference, I have made a very conscious effort to not yell or scream at my kids and talk to them calmly and nicely and discipline them in a constant manner. And I just want to thank Dr. Randy Carlson for changing my life.
Hey, listen, Michelle, God does the work, and you've done the work, and I'm glad to just be a part of the cheerleading team here to help you along in the process of being intentional. If you've joined us today, we're live on this 9/11, and I've been, you hear my voice maybe, some of you picking up. I love the voice, by the way. It gets a little deeper, you know, but I'd love to feel better too, but that's coming. But I wanted to be here in the studio today and on this special day and Remembrance Day, and also talk about this thing of being controlling. I think I got time for a caller or two. Let's go to Stephen in Kansas. Appreciate your call, Stephen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good. What's your one thing on this topic of control?
I was the one being controlled, and I think the one thing was once I learned that I was losing me and that I was able to pan back and realize that I was becoming isolated, and that I was not going to please a perfectionist. I had to concentrate on the person in error. Then things started to change a little bit, and I still struggle to a certain extent with that acceptance, because society seems to like the person I am, which is a pretty good guy, although the controller did not like the fact that I went and jumped through all the hoops.
So you were, it's a little hard to hear you on the phone, but what I heard you say, Stephen, is you were being controlled and you had to start taking a little better care of yourself in relation with others. In other words, did it show up like you felt like you were doing things out of obligation, or, and you weren't able to express yourself? It was something going on inside yourself?
Yes, it was. I was trying very hard to make somebody else happy that was never going to be happy with themselves or with me until they were happy with themselves. And once that was explained to me, it wasn't my job to make them happy.
Yeah.
It was their job to make themselves happy.
Yeah.
And that was, that was life-changing, realizing it wasn't my job anymore.
You know, I think that's a good point, Stephen. I think as Christians, we really wrestle with this, because on one hand, we speak and to the idea of being intentional and serving others, caring for others, putting others ahead of yourself. Don't think only of your own interests, but also the interest of others. And those are all biblical truths, and we need to have that attitude. Where it becomes unhealthy is when we violate the principle we hear on the airplane, where it says, if there's an emergency, put the oxygen mask on yourself so you can help other people. In that case, your children. And in life, if we don't take care of ourselves emotionally, spiritually, if we're not confident in who we are in Christ, I don't mean cocky, but confident of who we are in Christ. So when we are willing to say, hey, we want to reach out and help someone, we're not doing it out of a sense of this oppressive obligation, but out of a sense of joy. It's a process. Stephen, thank you for wrapping up the program with that good reminder. Make sure you're taking care of yourself in the process of taking care of others. Drive safely. That wraps up the program today. If you missed any part of it, it's available on demand. Just go to theintentionallife.com. I also want to mention that coming up next year, my wife Donna and I are leading the Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska, 7 days over the July 4th holiday. We're going to have a great time in Alaska together. At sea, I'll be teaching on intentional living. We'll have great music, and just going to be a fun time for couples and for solo cruisers. Get your best cabin reserved now. Go to theintentionallife.com. We'll see you next time right here at Intentional Living Center.